Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen or take part. If there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call. Let's talk about it right now at 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the resurrection this month, and this particular week on the calendar, I think, is the most significant week in a Christian's life. I think this is, you know, we celebrate, we put a lot of time, energy, and effort into celebrating the birth of Christ, but this just overshadows that so much as far as the importance. Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what the basic gospel is. Paul said that Jesus died according to scriptures, that he was buried, and the third day he was raised again according to scriptures. That's the gospel that saves. That's the gospel on which we take our stand. And that gospel happened this week 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And the evidence of that gospel, its veracity, its validity, its power is seen in us, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's seen in us in a very significant way. In John chapter 13, in verse 34, Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So Jesus Christ died as that final sin offering. He was buried, placed in a borrowed tomb. His body was placed in that borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he was raised back to life. And that Jesus who was raised back to life comes and lives in us when we have faith, when we are made alive. He comes to take up residence in our hearts. And so just as he served those that were his own back in his day, his disciples, and that's what John 13 is all about, the washing of the feet, Jesus humbling himself and serving them at their point of need, he's saying just as he did that, the fact that he's alive living in us, he will move us to do the same for one another. Loving others just as God in Christ has loved us. What is that? Evidence that Jesus Christ is alive. Evidence that we truly are his disciples. That's what this good news story is all about. The good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection can become our good news when we learn to abide by faith in him.
Absolutely. And that's Basic Gospel, and this is Basic Gospel. Open lines 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you, and right now is a good opportunity because the lines are pretty much wide open. Again, 1-800-677-9377, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. Lines are open. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to El Paso, Texas, and talk with Sal, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Sal.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I appreciate you guys taking my call. The question, I have a question. I haven't heard a lot from the various radio talk shows with traditional Christianity talk about this new apostolic reformation. You know, it's, in my opinion, it's spreading like wildfire, and basically it's another gospel when you take real close attention to it. And these people teach kingdom now. They teach, it's not a spiritual kingdom like Jesus Christ taught us to be. And they kind of offer apostolic covering, if you will, for the churches. And it's just spreading like wildfire. And it's got a combination of prosperity gospel with other things. And frankly, either I'm not paying a whole lot of attention, but I don't see the core Christianity believers racing up against this movement as it spreads throughout the various congregations.
Well, Sal, go ahead.
Yeah, and so my question is, You know, what's your opinion on that? What do you think about the traditional historic Christianity believers coming together somehow and standing up against these people?
Well, Sal, that's where truth is so vitally important. As Jesus said, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And when the Son has set us free, we are free indeed. The message of Christianity really is a message about Christ. It's Christ from beginning all the way to the end. It's His work through His death, burial, and resurrection that purchased our redemption, and it's His work in us that makes a difference today. So we try to do all kinds of religious things to set ourselves apart, and maybe this is one of those. I've heard of it, and I've looked at it briefly. Richard has a little more information on this apostolic reformation movement that's going on today.
Yeah, it seems that there are the biggest issue here is that somehow the church has lost key offices of church government, in particular prophets and apostles, and so people who buy into this are looking for new prophets and new apostles to take over the church and to bring the church back to what it should have been all along. And so the problem, of course, is as soon as you say we need new apostles and new prophets, that raises the specter of new revelation. And there is no new revelation. We've got the Word of God. It's the story of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Any prophet today who is not pointing you back to Jesus Christ but is trying to provide new information is in grave danger. And so is if someone who somehow declares themselves to be an apostle or is declared by someone else to be an apostle. There were very strict definitions of who an apostle was back in the first century. That was someone who had spent time with Jesus himself, who had been traveling, who had been there.
The definition of an apostle was somebody that was with Jesus from his baptism all the way through his
crucifixion.
Yes. So there were some very specific parameters that governed that office, who could step in those particular shoes.
Yeah, and I fully understand that, I think, and I believe that also very strongly. Unfortunately, this movement is so subtle, and I've seen here, in El Paso and elsewhere, here in Texas, just this creep in because it's counterfeit and it's so subtle that pastors, leaders, before they know it, they've embraced this different gospel, because we understand the foundation that was laid out based on apostles and prophets and teachers, and the fivefold ministries being the cornerstone, Jesus Christ Himself, and we believe that, and we believe we built on that. But again, these people have come in and they want to bring it to a point where you've got to have new apostles, and they use the
terminology. Well,
there's
the issue that right there you said the key words. You must have. You've got to have this, or you've got to have that. It's just another form of legalism. If the church has weaknesses, and it does, how do we deal with the weaknesses? Do we define a whole new behavioral norm? Or do we go back to what Jesus said? They'll know we're Christians by our love one for another. And so this is just another form of you better do this and you better do the next thing and you better do the next thing, or you're not God's guy. And any time any movement takes that position that there's something else you and I have to do in order to demonstrate our fitness for the gospel or for heaven or for anything else, that's a serious problem. And the real problem is that we're infinitely weak to that kind of argument. We are natural-born legalists. We always, always, always tend to go with the flesh first. What do I need to do? And if somebody tells me what I need to do and it sounds reasonable to me, I'm going to jump on that. And it takes literally the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us from falling into that kind of situation?
Well, yeah, because one of the things they're offering is this paternal covering from an apostle, and the other gentleman, you said it very clearly: who has the Son has the Father. You know, another no one can come to the Father if it's not through the Son, and so our full dependency needs to be in the complete work of Jesus Christ, totally complete at the cross.
Yeah, and that's where you take people. Yeah, if there's some friend of yours or family member or somebody who is leaning in toward this stuff, just take them back to Jesus. Don't try to argue them out of the position. Don't try to prove them wrong. Just take them to Jesus and let the power of the Holy Spirit do what only the Holy Spirit can do. You've got good discernment in terms of this, but these kinds of things very rarely can be battled head on. They have to be battled spiritually because it's a spiritual issue, and that's where the Spirit does the work.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. Well, and the challenge is, they do not deny Jesus Christ. That's the challenge.
Yeah. Nobody does. No good deception ever denies Jesus. Otherwise, people would go, well, you're wrong. But see, what makes it deception is it's close enough to reality that we fall for it. And so, I think you've got a good understanding of what's wrong with the situation. What makes it right is not correcting the situation, but taking people to Jesus. Jesus is always the answer. We're called to look at him and him alone.
Sal, we appreciate your call so much. Interesting conversation. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if you have further questions.
Yes, indeed. I was going to leave this one verse for Sal. It's Jude 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, so Jude had an agenda. He wanted to share in the joy of salvation with those he was writing to, but some other issue changed the direction and did so in an urgent matter. So he says, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. And that's the problem with some of these movements. And one of the problems, I think, with this particular movement is that folks are saying that there's new revelation.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily contradict what was given to us in the Bible, but it can supplant that. It can take the place of. It can become more important to us. Well, I think that goes against what Jude was writing here. We need to contend for the once-for-all delivered faith that was entrusted to the saints. We have everything that we need in Jesus Christ. In him, we have everything we need for life and godliness. In him, we've been given every spiritual blessing, and God has revealed that all to us. And so it's just a matter of us being courageous enough to live out this gospel message in daily life. Well, thanks, Sal. Thanks for your call. Let's go to New Orleans and talk with Jay. Hi, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, we're talking to people about the Lord and having a good time. How are you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. I listen to you guys all the time, and I want to thank you for taking my call, man. My question, I'm going to try to make it as simple and plain as I can. You know, I believe in God for everything. I trust God for everything. And I know that he can and will deliver you from any problem or any situation that you're having. And for the simple fact that he has delivered me from drinking alcohol and haven't had a drink of alcohol in many, many years, and smoking, he delivered me from that, you know. But my question is about lying. And I know it says in the Bible, if you trust God for one thing, you should be able to trust him for everything. And but my question is about lying. And we get caught up. I have spoken to several people, and I've heard the same thing over and over, that everybody lies. Everybody lies. Well, I don't think that's possible. But I've been praying and asking God all the time for several months now to take this lying spirit away from me. You know, I don't believe everybody should lie. I don't think a lie is something that we ought to do all the time. And maybe I'm doing something wrong, or maybe I'm just not waiting for God to fix it or take the lying spirit away from me. But I'm just frustrated with the fact that that you lie.
Well, Jay, there's reasons we lie. When I was a kid, I lied to my parents because I didn't want to get in trouble. So I was afraid. Sometimes we lie to one another because I don't want people to find out what's really going on with me, because if they did, what are they going to think? They might reject me. They might walk away. So I put up a good front. I pretend to be something that I'm not. So there's reasons that we do those things. And I think when we look at those reasons, then the gospel message has an answer for us. I'm already somebody in God's eyes. I've been declared to be a child of God, and that position is never going to change. God's opinion of me is never going to change. God's forgiveness that he's given to me in Christ is never going to change. The life that I have in Christ, that's never going to be taken away from me. Jesus is never going to turn his back on me. He's always going to be in the trenches with me. He's going to walk through this life with me through thick and thin. That's truth. And when we recognize that truth, then we have a foundation on which to analyze this thing called lying. And when we do, we can come to the point and say, well, that just doesn't make any sense anymore. It just doesn't line up with what God has done for me in Christ. And that's why Paul actually addressed it in his letter to the Ephesians. He went through some things about, this flesh of ours that we, even though we've been born again, and Jay, I'm assuming you've been born again of the Spirit.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
so Christ is alive living in you, right?
Right.
But around that is this body of flesh, and in that flesh is sin. And so flesh is always going to be, knocking at your door saying, hey, remember when we had so much fun lying together? And you think, oh, yeah, that was good. And so sometimes we can give in, but that's flesh speaking. And so Paul addresses that. The flesh is never going to get better. I mean, flesh is flesh is flesh. It's not going to get better. The only cure for flesh is when this body dies and we go to be with the Lord and we get a brand new body. And so in the meantime, he says, okay, there's going to be temptations in your life to lie. But let me give you some things to think about. Let me give you some things to put into play. So in verse 25 of chapter 4, Jay, the Apostle Paul wrote this, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Okay? We understand that, right? And that's what
right.
you're saying. I want to learn to speak truthfully to
right.
my neighbor. And he gives a reason, for we are all members of one body. So it just makes sense for us to speak truth one to another. Why? Because we're joined to each other through Christ. So if one member of the body lies to another member of the body, it does harm to the body.
Right.
And so we realize that, and you say, well, shoot fire. I don't want to be, maybe we don't say shoot fire. Maybe other phrase, but we say something and we come to the point, say, I don't want to do something to harm another person who's in the body of Christ. I want to do something that builds them up, that edifies them. So what do? I start learning to speak truth. And this is a process, Jay. I think you're recognizing that it's a process, and you're trusting the Lord to work with
right.
you in
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So keep going down that road. Allow
right.
the grace of God to do in you exactly what it did in you when it saved you. It took you from death to life, and now it's working inside of you in such a way to bring those old deadly practices to an end so that you can live out alive practices, those
right.
things that are in line with what the Spirit of God is doing inside of you.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I will read Ephesians, the whole book, actually.
Yeah, read it from start to finish.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a powerful book. It talks about God's eternal purpose for you, Jay, and it's much more than just saving you. It's about putting you into his plan to rescue the world, to help draw others out of darkness and put them into light. help mm-hmm. others experience this saving life of Christ. So it's a marvelous book, and it's a very practical book.
Read
through that, and you'll notice, Jay, it simply says, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. The apostle doesn't come down on you with harsh words. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't berate you. He simply says, let's start looking at things based on truth. Who are you? Well, you're a child of God. Well, if you've struggled with lying, let's kind of bring that under the control of God's Spirit and allow God's Spirit to work in you in that regard.
Yeah, and it gets frustrating, like I say, from time to time when you run into people, and I don't like to judge, you know, at all, but people that say everybody lies. I mean, it's just a way of life. Everybody lies. And I just can't take that as being truthful. There is no reason to.
Yeah. Well, it's true that we probably all lie, but I think what you're hearing when somebody says that to you, and what I would hear is, well, since we all do it and that's just human, why worry about it?
Yeah, big whoop.
Yeah, and we just resign ourselves to that. But the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, living inside of us, we should expect much more, not from us, but from the Lord Jesus who lives in us.
Absolutely.
If he can take me from death to life, certainly he can start teaching and training this tongue of mine to share truth instead of lies.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so expect great things from the Lord who's alive, living in you.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for your help.
Hey, you're welcome, Jay. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. No question from Michael, who lives in Indiana, says, in Colossians, Paul tells us to set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. He also says that whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The question is, for any activity in our life, how can we be sure that we're pursuing it in dependence on Christ instead of in the energy of our flesh?
It's a good question. We always, is that spirit driven or is that flesh driven?
Well, I can tell you the answer that I've discovered. Whenever I ask that question, it's coming from the flesh, because the Spirit's saying to me, come on.
Yeah.
You know better. But the fact that I'm looking for some rationalization means that I've missed the point. It's the wrong question to ask. The only question is, are my eyes on Jesus? Am I walking by faith and where the Spirit is leading?
Absolutely. And it's one of those things, what in the world is the Spirit going to be producing in us?
Well,
it's love.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's simply that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then, you know, there's eight other things that follow that, but those are all kind of, I think, spokes that flow out of love.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the simple answer. If the Spirit is working in you, you can see love pouring out of your life into the lives of others. You won't know it necessarily at the time, but when you look back at it, you'd say, thank you, Lord, for using me in that particular way.
Yeah. Okay, Michael. Richard says you're asking the wrong question, but we hope that helped anyway. We appreciate everybody joining us today. A very quick question I think you guys can answer as we close the broadcast. As a student, how do I effectively study the Bible amidst all the distractions that are prevalent all around me?
It's a good question, isn't it? And it's going to take a little bit longer to answer that.
A minute 14.
But I think the simple answer is to realize that this book is God's testimony about his son.
Yeah.
So you're reading about the person and work of Jesus Christ. When you have that in mind, Bible study becomes exciting. You see Jesus kind of leaping off every page, and you see what he's actually accomplished for you. So when you go into it with that mindset, I think it will answer the Bible study question. You will want to spend time in the Word.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bob. I knew you could do it. Hey, Bob, Christopher's CD series, The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, is available during Resurrection Month, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828, for The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, yours for a gift of any amount. And for information on our upcoming Bible conference, visit the website, stand2014.com. All that information is available, registration as well, at stand2014.com. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.